Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast 180.
Met with the enthusiasm of a Monday morning.
On a Wednesday afternoon, it's like a Monday morning, especially with the weather. And as we've said, sod's law, walk all the way down here in the pissing wet, because we're in Wetherspoons this week, it's a bit further away.
Keeping it classy.
Yeah. I like it down here.
And the sun comes out. Well, it's cheap, £2.20 for a pint for me, so...
No shit music.
Wetherspoons are now socially acceptable as well, aren't they?
I think they are, yeah.
Does this one show football?
It's going to during the World Cup.
Doesn't stink of fish. Yeah.
No, I think absolutely perfect.
When have they ever stunk of fish?
Henry Ads has a tendency to smell of something. But,
we've
got some of the usuals. We've got myself, Mike, we've got Andy, Jim, we've got Chris, we've got quite poorly Dan, so I think he might be a bit quiet this week, a bit under the weather. We've also come down with us.
We did have Pete, but he's on the fringe.
We did have Pete Smith, who worked with us, who actually went to...
Probably about our average listening time, that, as well.
Yeah.
20, 30 seconds, what is this shit? I'm going to go to a fruit machine.
He's gone to fruity, but Pete actually went to England-Uruguay in the 1966 World Cup.
He did.
Claim to fame. And that was the one game of the tournament that we didn't win. We drew it.
Can we also notice that we've just walked to Wetherspoons, and on the way past, we saw a van generating power, which is called MEMS. That's a League One sponsor of Gillingham Football Club. I didn't actually think that existed. I was very excited.
I didn't
even know what they were.
It says MEMS, I think it says power generation on it, but I didn't know what the fuck they did. But they're generating
I do enjoy a lower league sponsor. My favourite was always Berry in the late 90s, was sponsored by Birthdays.
Do you remember the kit?
Yes.
Proper Ross.
And it had like the multicolour time. Birthdays was a card shop. Did you have Birthdays down south, or was it in Northern?
No, Birthdays. I think they got Clinton's became.
I think so. Clinton's, didn't it? Well, always great one.
Ramsden's, they sponsored Grimsby, was it?
I think it was. Harry Ramsden's did, yeah.
You get the thing is, you go down there and you get some quite good sponsors. Like you see
Waitrose doing
Reading. Did Station sponsor someone at some point?
Live TV did Millwall.
Yes.
And then Live TV at the time was a Trinity Mirror.
And it was what's your man, Kelvin McKenzie?
Yeah.
In the late 90s, a condom manufacturer was linked with West Ham as well. But they never ended up sponsoring
that. Rubber.
If you go a bit further afield to Scotland, in Clyde Bank, who no longer exists, were sponsored by celebrity fans Wet Wet Wet.
Athletic Madrid. They're just sponsored by a country, aren't they?
I've got a few of that. I think Qatar sponsor a couple of people.
All right, so quick straw poll. My favourite ever Jill sponsor was Sea France, because the logo just looked nice, and we're based in Kent, we're not that far from the port, so that was my favourite ever sponsor.
Alright, here's a question for
Man
you
United's favourite ever sponsor, Sharp.
Sharp View Cam. That was on the grey kit and the black kit, and then later on we had Sharp Digital on a really horrible.
Yours has got to be JVC.
I do like Dreamcast.
I love the Dreamcast.
Japanese?
No. In one of the countries in the Champions League, because they couldn't
wear
it.
Yes, it was.
France, I think, wasn't it?
It was somewhere.
Was it Sega?
Or was it the Czech Republic?
I think it was Dreamcast.
Yeah, no, it was Sega. It was Sega.
So
they couldn't wear it.
They couldn't wear it.
On the away kit, they had Sega.
Spurs, Holston Pills.
Holston Pills.
When I think. But we're all probably the same.
But that's Jürgen, the German. And
the yellow kit, I remember that yellow kit. Packard Bell, that was.
No,
shit. When all the Amstrad companies. Hewlett Packard.
All about Holston Pills.
I don't know any breakfast sponsors, to be fair.
I'll go with a current one, SkyX, because it's on a wicked kit. Adidas, proper good kit. And we went up. Great sponsor.
Peter over there, his favourite was Dig for Victory in the Second World War. So, because it's 180, because it's show 180, obviously the darts connotations. Got a few darts players and the clubs they support. Some you might know, some you won't.
Phil Taylor in there.
Phil Taylor's in there, he's the obvious one.
What have you got him? Is a Stoke or a Port Vale fan?
I've got him as a Port Vale fan.
He goes to Stoke games.
He does go to Stoke games, but he's technically a Port Vale fan. He's big mates with Robbie Williams. Over their mutual hometown and their love of Port Vale. Eric Bristow, Chelsea, apparently.
Makes sense.
Jockey Wilson, the late Jockey Wilson, Newcastle United. Raymond van Barneveld supports ADO Den Haag, because he's from The Hague. Adrian Lewis is a Stoke City fan, so a bit of rivalry. And Michael van Gerwen, who is the current number one in the BDO rankings.
Oh, Michael van Gerwen.
He supports PSV Eindhoven, but he also keeps an eye out for the results of Leighton Orient, because their physio helped him when he had an injury. And nice. He's mates with Joey Barton and somebody else.
What injury?
What sort of injury?
No, apparently it was a foot. I think it was a foot injury. I only read briefly.
He's using the wrong part.
I think Andy Fulton was a Jewish fan.
The Viking.
Yeah.
Yes. I think he the one that lost a load of weight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was really heavily obese.
He's Millwall, but he's from that area. But there's a lot of people that are from that area.
Bloody hell, Peter, did it go well on the fruit machine then?
I didn't hear any coins tumbling out of it.
He lost a load of weight, didn't he?
He did. That looked really weird. Yeah, he was really heavily obese.
Oh, incredible.
And then he was just rubbish at darts afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, you would be. Imagine if you're holding a massive fat arm. Sonny, you got loads.
You're not used to it, are you? You've got to get the whole flight and speed right.
It's a shame.
I tell you what, we won't talk too much about darts. We'll talk about, I think, the obvious one at the moment. It's kind of a funny time because we're between the season. World Cup's starting, but it's not really World Cup fever
Shall
yet.
I tell you how long to go to the seconds?
Go on.
To the minute. 8 days, 7 hours, 34 minutes. That's by the official FIFA World Cup app.
What do you say? It's not really started yet. Fucking about to.
Well, it's about to, but does anyone feel World Cup-y?
Yeah, I am. Fuck yes. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm following the friendlies.
We're playing our second to last game tonight.
That's what I mean. After that first game on Friday night, even just that. And the
thriller, wouldn't it?
The subsequent friendlies that have been. Even I watched a bit of Brazil Panama last night just because it was Brazil playing. Who gives a shit?
Hammering win, as you might expect for Brazil. They look good because not every other team, I'll tell you about a few results in a minute, have done that well.
Are you not like.
No, I am. I'm excited.
Have you actually been working? Have you not been on Twitter? And
it's a bit like Christmas where. You're looking forward to
not
it, but it takes something to really
until you see
it.
The tree.
Christmas doesn't
mean presents under the tree.
To be fair, we haven't got our World Cup tree up yet. We've got the lights on the outside of the house, but not the tree inside.
It'll feel like it tonight because you know it's a 75,000 seater tonight, and there's going to be 10,000 in there.
Well, that might
because
be
because it's 3 o'clock over there, 3:45 kickoff over there. Yeah. They've done it for RTV companies, and they reckon about 40,000 on Saturday because it's. 5 o'clock their time on Saturday. Nine
I'm actually really looking forward to the game tonight. Yeah. I really like the look of the team, barring the centre backs. I actually really like the look of the team.
We could end up playing Ecuador as well. You know,
Rooney playing out wide is a bit of a weird one, but I'm interested to see how some of those fringe players gel.
Well, I mean, there's a few curveballs. Like I said, Rooney. I think he's getting in there for. Minutes, and we'll talk about that in a minute because
I'm pretty upset Jason Bent didn't make the plane.
No, true.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that.
I don't like Lee Nelson as a character. Did
you watch the programme he did recently? Because if you look on Dave or BBC 3 or BBC 4, it's just really rubbish programmes on about the World Cup.
Like, it's terrible.
The 56th worst England
I'll tell you what's better than that. Go on YouTube, type in England World Cup, and you'll find all the ones from like 4, 6, 8 years ago when people have been doing it for tournaments, and it's just these minor celebrities.
If anyone doesn't know what's going on,
don't remember
it's
what was happening.
Simon Brodkin, the comedian, one of his characters is Jason Bent. And he did pretty well to get as close as he did, and then suddenly turned around.
Apparently, Stephen Gerrard turned around and said he's not one of us.
Right.
And to be fair, if you don't recognise him, he's racist.
He says that about anyone that's got scouts today, doesn't
he? He just said it to Daniel Sturridge.
If you don't recognise him, you'd probably have to be quite alert to that kind of thing because they're
teammates.
Hang on, no.
No, not Daniel. Simon Brodkin.
That's what I'm talking about.
But no, you'd be alert if somebody all of a sudden sneaks up, you don't know who they are, and you say, oh shit, look at him.
Do you remember the
terror attacks
Champions League
that?
Final that terror United attacks. Were in? There's that geezer that photobombed that.
Yeah, it was.
Sort of thing. You know, you're lining up with your team, your head's on the game, about to start.
Your head's on the game, they're about to get on an aeroplane.
No.
I remember them all saying they thought it was a competition winner.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not going to question it, are you?
That's Chris Smalling.
You're not really going to question
it. Did.
It was just, hilarious.
I thought it was quite
hilarious.
A lot of them just looked a bit shocked and confused, but Glenn Johnson was wet.
Wilshire found it hilarious.
But
Glenn Johnson might not be wet himself if Milner has a good game tonight.
Yeah.
Not wrong, but so did you see that, obviously, someone took the piss, as they always do, the photos that went up on the Metro of Simon Brodkin getting pulled away. Obviously, someone photoshopped a certain other...
Terry.
No, it wasn't Terry.
Oh, no?
Cleverly.
Oh, okay.
I tell you what, speaking of England players not recognising somebody, apparently, they're staying at Hotel Miami, and Morrissey is staying in the same hotel.
Yeah, no one knew who it was, did they?
Apart from Leighton Baines, who had a really long chat with him.
Leighton Baines takes his guitar away.
Speaking of not recognising people, sorry, I'm just going to throw this in. Everyone remember Tim Weiss, the German goalkeeper?
Who was in the squad for the last World Cup?
Timo Weiss.
Look at the fucking size of him now.
Wow.
He'd become a bodybuilder.
Unit. Well, he was released by Hoffenheim in January.
He looks like a WWF wrestler.
Looks like he was released by the prison.
Yeah. If anyone has a look up Tim Weiss, and there's pictures of it, he used to be just a reasonably big goalkeeper.
He'd be our second fucking choice, wouldn't he, if he was English?
Oh, yeah. He's fucking huge.
You see Sackner's going training.
Yeah, I did.
You actually retweeted from the podcast.
Yeah, well done.
For a change.
That's why I get like the World Cup, because you get snippets of training grounds and you're looking at the French, the Dutch,
I liked his reaction. Just carried on.
The Chelsea right back, what's his name?
Carried on.
Aspilicueta.
He scored, I don't think he meant that anyway, he scored a chip as well in training.
The
one where they trained and players just carry on.
Just started jogging backwards.
That's what we talk about. No one celebrated Sangner's ridiculous volley.
Yeah.
Because, and we were like, you were saying that, so they probably don't like him. It looks like they don't like him.
Yeah, you've only got a split second to see him not react.
To be fair.
Whereas the Spanish right back one is about 3 or 4 seconds after he scores it, and no one reacts. So like, does that all the time.
You hear about them, they probably do. I mean, outside the pressure of
in training, you relax.
It's scary.
I'm not being funny. If my right back,
Chris Smalling does that. Our second choice. Yeah. Carry him out.
But you've only got to see him when they used to do the old crossbar challenge on Soccer M, and they all used to go ape shit. Albeit that was a very contrived situation. But on the Spain squad, Negredo and Navas left out.
Yeah, Navas is a big, big shock. But so, who's been included at his expense?
Well,
I mean, there's a lot of players.
Torres has for Negredo, but the one for Navas, because he hasn't been involved in the squad for the last year or so, and then they've brought him back in.
You can still see the reasoning behind Torres, because he is a striker and he will lead the line. And
so
he does
Negredo.
I'm not talking about Negredo, I'm talking about why Navas was left out.
Negredo had a much better season, but Torres...
Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jim.
Excuse me.
Well done, Jim.
I'm asking why Navas
was left out.
Navas has been left out from that. Negredo's been left out for Torres. With Torres is he's got a great record at international tournaments. Scored in the final in 2008 and 2012 Euros. He was top scorer at the 2012 Euros, and he scored a few in 2010.
He scored in the final as well, didn't he? Just gone.
That was two years ago.
A terrible season then, and he still went on to perform for Spain. And
Negredo's
has performed for Spain.
Not
he scored the other night.
A lot better than Torres this season.
Yeah.
Football Fans Down Under? They got BBC Sport, Sky Sports News, but then they put an extra S on it, so it looks exactly like the Sky Sports News tweet. They tweeted that Torres had signed for Bayern Munich, and the boys at FFDU put it on their Facebook page.
Because
I read it on Facebook saying, and I was like, what? I read one of the comments, it was like, no, you've been done there.
You muppets.
Oh, dear.
Talking of good tweets, Dagenham and Ribbridge have actually ruled themselves out of signing Cesc Fabregas this season.
Oh, it's good to
just
know.
To cut all the speculation.
Just to wind that one
up. Not football related, but Hampshire Cricket Club just tweeted a pair of tits, apparently. So,
probably their opening batting
someone might have been hacked.
Referees, have you seen the new thing that the referees have got? They've got like shaving foam to put
they use it already in South America
for 10 yards,
so they give a free kick. They put the ball down, they put a bit of shaving foam by the ball.
Why not?
And then they do the steps out, put the wall down, and put shaving foam by the
and it disappears within something like a minute.
But that is less than that. It's like 15, 16 seconds.
Yes. That is something that's fantastic for a major tournament. When
they're going to look like RoboCop in a minute, because they've got their vibrating watch on for the goal line technology. They've now got this fucking pepper spray.
They've got the laser cannon in case Joey Barton gives any chat.
Yellow card, pepper spray, red card. Yellow card, next time you get the pepper spray. Right, you can't do anything for 10 minutes.
Did anyone see the Kalina Masterclass?
That's a really good idea. Yeah. Pepper spray for refs.
Did anyone watch the Kalina Masterclass on Sky?
No. We talked about it last week, didn't we?
I don't think so. No. It's all about, you know, there's this debate about, there's a fourth, there's the extra linesman or assistant referee behind the goal. And no one knows what he's fucking doing, because he's not flagging and he's not doing anything.
He's got a stick.
He's holding the ref.
Yeah, he's there to make sure doesn't go rogue.
He's hooked up to an earpiece in the ref's ear, and he is actually making decisions for the ref. The problem
What's his stick for
fans...
Then?
I don't think he's got a stick.
They have sticks.
Something to
sticks.
Basically, they don't need to wave anything. They're just talking in the earpiece, and they are making decisions for the ref to blow the whistle for.
Yeah.
I just found that quite interesting as well when we're talking about technology.
Hey, well, I'll tell you what, someone who's very disappointed this week, it's not a tenuous link, it is Adnan Januzaj. Because he made his Belgium debut against Luxembourg, 5-1 win the other week. But because Belgium made 7 substitutions, he's been stricken from the records, so he no longer has an official cap.
I'm sure he'll get over that very quickly.
Yeah, that wasn't a competitive fixture, though, was it?
No, it was a friendly. But
yeah, but even so, he could still go on and play for another country.
Inevitably, he'll probably go and play for 3 or 4, the way he's performing.
Lukaku's scoring for fun, though,
isn't he? Yeah. He won't be there, which I think is a real shame, is Falcao.
Yeah, big miss.
But they were spending money. He did himself back in January. There was chat of him actually hopefully getting there.
Potentially great for England though, because if we get through the
Colombia
group stage, Colombia could be one of the teams.
Is it Baca? I think Colombia
are going to win Group C. I think we're going to finish on a Eric Baca, he's played for Norwegian, I know you mean some sort of formation, but he's quality.
He's been banging them in for Sevilla.
That does blow that group wide open, because between Ivory Coast, Japan, Colombia and Greece, you've got 4 teams very capable of getting out of that group. Greece haven't been very good.
I hope we don't play Greece. I'll come home.
Greece are capable of scoring 1 goal in a tournament.
Well, you say that, but Greece have had 2 friendlies in the run up.
Oh, go on.
And you know the score they played? Nigeria,
0-0 and
0-0. Correct, yes. They've got to worry about a few other friendlies. That'd be an awful opponent for England.
Oh, it'd be terrible.
I'd rather play Colombia than Greece, even though on paper, Greece have got pace on their counter attack
as well, and Greece will just set off defensively.
I'll tell you what, England Japan would be a great game. Japan beat Costa Rica 3-1 the other day, which is interesting, because in theory that could be a game in the second round if Costa Rica's right wingers
one to watch, apparently. I can't remember his fucking name, but there's a lot of focus on him.
North Korea have got a decent right winger, it wasn't Honda, it was Suzuki Honda
who plays for Milan.
North Korea have got a decent right winger. He's not going, I don't think.
politics
like he's telling people what to do, does he?
Few other friendly results that are interesting. Germany drew 2-1 with Cameroon.
I watched that game, and that actually, so you know when we're talking about, you know, are we getting into World Cup fever, that was a cracking pre-tournament friendly.
Yeah.
really good game.
Northern Ireland really did well against Uruguay. I saw some of it last Friday night. It was a late goal. It was halfway through the second half. Uruguay won 1-0 in the end. But it was in Montevideo, and Uruguay looked sluggish. They really did miss Luis Suarez.
It's Ecuador we're playing tonight, isn't it?
We're playing Ecuador tonight. They lost to Mexico the other day, 3-1.
That'll be interesting, Ecuador. They're my second team at the World Cup, because I'm seeing them play against, I think they're in France's group, aren't they?
Yeah.
Teams like that have got absolutely nothing. Like Costa Rica in our group.
They're the ones to fear. They got absolutely nothing.
But they're also more used to the climate and the environment.
They're definitely not the ones I fear the most out of Uruguay and Italy.
I really do think they made it through last night, didn't they? I don't see us losing to Uruguay. No, Costa
really
Rica went in 2006, didn't make it.
They were in Germany's group. They were the opening game.
They were, but they did.
Costa Rica got through their group once.
No, Costa Rica, they did in 1990.
Do you know Paolo Onchoppi's assistant as well?
Yeah, assistant manager. Yeah.
Well, he's
got to be the most famous.
He scored
Costa
for them
player.
At the 2006 World Cup. He was still playing.
Really? I think I had him in my dream team because he was one of the cheapest. They are missing their
star striker Saborio though, who used to play for Bristol City
Saborio.
And now plays over there. I can't remember his first name, but they have
Genesis.
They have got Ruiz and Joe Campbell.
How many teams could be missing their star player if Suarez doesn't make it?
I'm still expecting something to blow up on the England team.
Well, potentially, Frank Ribery won't make it. France.
Oh, Ribery's injured.
Yeah, he's struggling.
There could be some.
The only player that England would massively miss would be Joe Hart.
I think we'd miss Sturridge big time.
I don't think
Fraser Forster. Stick him in goal.
If
you're missing Sturridge, who's never really performed at international level yet. Yeah, I think he will. He's a great player, but he's not
really had many caps, mate.
He scored one in every three games.
So he scored four
goals.
Not bad, but... Can I just make my point first, Andrew. Come on, let's be fair.
All right. We're having a debate, Michael. I'm not talking over you.
If Sturridge isn't there, we've got Rooney, Welbeck, Lambert, who can all do a job, plus Sterling, plus Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Do a job.
Plus Barkley.
I agree with Andy.
The only way we're going to get to the quarter or semis is if Sturridge scores.
The whole thing about Sturridge.
Or if Rooney performs in that position. Now make my
Rooney's
point.
Gone, he's done.
Like
he's not read the papers. He's done.
And I'll make my point now. Yeah. The whole thing about Sturridge is, because he's a proper front man, he will push defences back.
Make him
back.
Sound like Liam Gallagher.
He's got a bit of swagger about him. Likes a little smooth.
Have you seen his Subway advert, though? His Subway advert is up there with one of the worst adverts I've ever seen.
Was it as bad as Ryan Giggs' corn advert in the 90s?
Worse.
Anyway, what he does is he holds the line well and he pushes defences back, which gives our midfield a lot more room to manoeuvre. Rooney always drops deep.
My turn.
And I don't think Lambert's as good as Sturridge.
My turn. I think he actually, in the first half, I was getting really, really frustrated in that game with Sturridge.
Yes.
Because he held up the ball, but then he'd hold on for a bit too long. Yeah. No, yeah, I know. Sorry, mate. I disappointed myself too. he'd held up the ball for too long, and then he'd go backwards a bit and slow down the play and start again. He did it. He did it less so in the second half. I was sat there watching, thinking, I must talk about this on the podcast. Believe it or not, how sad is that? But he'd get the ball to his feet. He did well to actually trap it.
What did he start?
Rooney just behind him.
Yeah, with Welbeck and
Lallana on the wing.
But what I will say on that as well with Sturridge is, I thought he was very frustrating the first half. But he also created a great goal out of nothing.
Oh,
that is
fantastic.
What he can bring to the team.
And that's what I'm saying
I think he needs to improve in that, because there was times where it looked like we could break and he'd just have that extra couple of touches and then lay it right back to the centre-back as opposed to the centre midfielder. He'd go all the way back and start again as opposed to bringing the players in around.
I've said it before on previous shows, my biggest frustration with Sturridge is he is selfish and he's very, very single-minded, and sometimes, I mean, if you're a strike partner of his, you're going to be frustrated all the time.
Ah, fuck it, we're going to win it, Chris, aren't we?
Yeah. But we're going to fucking win it. Lambert, I'm sorry, doesn't create chances out of nothing. He's a team player and he's always part of a team move.
Oh, I don't know.
Sturridge will do something.
I can show you some backflips of Lambert goals from absolutely fucking nowhere. Admittedly, League Two.
Not at the top level.
I don't know.
But it's his assists. It's all about his assists as well, isn't it?
As we were talking about. I do like what the BBC have been doing in showing the games from previous.
Yeah, we just left half time in 1986.
Yeah,
when I left, Maradona was feigning injury.
I love the way that people are tweeting in saying, "Oh, I wonder if the referee will make a dodgy decision in this game."
No, it's good.
In fact, I've got a replica of the 86 shirt.
I do as well, actually. Yeah, I've got an 86 shirt.
I don't know what to wear out there. 1996.
I used to have a 1966 one, but I'm far too big for it.
Did you see FIFA released a thing on their Twitter and their app saying they're like the young stars to watch at first 11? There's three England players in there. Shaw at left back. Barkley and Sturridge.
Lampard.
It's not Sturridge.
Lallana.
No, the right wing. Sterling.
Peter Shilton's in
there.
Yeah, he is. Negative news of the week. See, Pele's son's fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In more ways than one with where he's going.
33 years in prison for money laundering and drug trafficking.
Well, he's apparently a heroin addict, so.
And that's what he claims. He claims that he's a heroin addict, but.
People are always using that excuse.
That old excuse.
I'm a heroin addict.
Yeah. Just love 33 years.
Or they've got anxiety. That works at the moment, doesn't it? In South Africa.
So also, negative chat. Last bit of negative chat.
Let's be more positive.
Last bit of negative chat. England had the worst record for potential match fixings this season.
Potential match fixings. That's just been something.
They might have matched the Nigerian goalkeeping
No, betting firm Fedibet, umbrella organisation, report that 10 games in the conference and one in Women's Super League were corrupted as a number of rig fixtures across Europe rose the sharpest. England were the worst for potential.
I've got a bit of insight on this because my sister's boyfriend works for Betfair in their betting fraud department.
Normally you go, I've got a link. And
his job is to investigate, and there is a lot more than you would think goes on. He watches a lot of games.
We pride a lot on ourselves for being
spot fixing,
but for being, you know, creme de la creme. But England got the worst as a worst record.
Positive news for you then.
Let's get positive.
Roy Hodgson has said he has insisted on all the players singing the national anthem.
I like that.
I don't particularly like the national anthem. It's slow and the sentiment behind it. But when you see like
fucking NME over it,
you see the rugby players behind it, arms around each other, singing it loud. At least
it shows a bit of passion.
Builds a bit of camaraderie as well with the team. And
rather
you see
than them
Buffon
just sort of
singing
mouthing
for Italy.
It, feigning it. You'd rather just do it. Either do it or you don't.
Whatever, you'll hear it out there because they're saying like, oh, we've only got 5,000-6,000 out there. There'll be 15,000-20,000 England fans in that stadium.
Yeah. And they'll all be pissed anyway.
Yeah, they will all be hammered because there'll be loads of corporate out there. Yeah. And half the corporate tickets will be going to blokes in media.
Just ruin your song sheet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Tested.
Not enough passion. Not enough passion from the players. Get them all singing. At least that's one positive, isn't it?
Well, can we announce the big game in Brazil as well?
Because on the 19th. First ever time a podcast has been called up by their national team.
Yeah, it's true.
Round of applause for James Staples. Yeah. You've been called up by England.
I'm going to play against the team from a local favela in Sao Paulo, the morning of our game out in Sao Paulo against Uruguay.
So I think
we're going to get absolutely burnt alive.
The 20th of June. I think we'll be doing a podcast anyway because
it's 19th, isn't it?
Yeah, no, but the day after we'll be doing podcast to talk about the England Uruguay game. In fact, we won't because that's at the weekend, but we'll be doing one soon after. No, that's the Thursday.
No, it's Thursday.
So on the Friday we'll be doing a podcast, but it'll also be the Jim Staples tribute show.
So there won't be
we will
be
miss him.
I won't be here either.
I thought you were going to say we won't miss him.
Well, me, Andy, Chris and probably Pete will be in the pub anyway.
We should try and get you to dial in. Out in Brazil.
I'll have my work phone, probably about 5 in the morning
on that note.
Probably still out.
On that note, you know, we said that, you know, Jim will probably provide, you know, maybe a bit of blogging or a bit of audio for us. He won't. He'll be shit-faced the entire time.
No, I'll do that.
Yeah. Or you'll try. Yeah. But we've also got another man in the field. My old housemate, Matt. The South End fan.
He's out there
for the whole time. He's already there. He's spending about 2 months travelling around South America, including doing the World Cup for it.
Put us in touch. I'll meet him when I'm out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely. He's got his brand new iPad Air that he got as a present for leaving from work. And he's really up for blogging, audio. He's going to do. He wants to do a piece before every England game.
He was, but I'm going to meet him. I'm going to get him. He'll lose his iPad on the first night, and then he'll end up just in a favela naked.
Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't happen, hopefully, Matt will be sending us a load of stuff that we'll be able to put on the site. So we'll have two men in the field.
On that front, I was talking to Mark about this the other day. While I'm going out there, I want to take something with me. When I went out to South Africa, I can't remember what I took. I took a beard or something, and I just tried to get it in the most ridiculous places. Well, so if anyone's got any suggestions,
if you want to take a beard, I reckon you take Chris in your hand luggage.
I'll get in your suitcase.
He's a small lad.
You probably could get him in.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Just like a little something, like from the podcast, that I can get photoed like on Cross Redeemer's head.
Well, next week we're going to do
like between some bosoms and what.
Well, we're probably going to do two shows next week. We're going to do our proper World Cup preview, which will be talking about photo and predictions
Friday night,
and then Friday night. A few of our die won't be there because I'm getting married and I've got to go and do all this boring.
You're getting married in 2 months' time, not on Friday night.
Wait until you get married, and in 2 months beforehand, you'll be doing boring shite every weekend as well. I hope the missus isn't listening.
Spain,
I love it. But it's Spain, Holland, so you lads are going to be heading down to the pub.
You try.
You're going to that.
I think I might have a hall pass for that one, actually.
Yes.
So,
we're going to be in the one town on Good Street for the Spain, Holland game. We were there before. Simon Head's coming.
The Godfather is coming for a podcast special.
A few shows throughout the tournament as well, because we'll be doing them on a regular basis, especially when England are playing.
Talking positives, so what positives do we take out of Friday's game?
It's over.
We won.
Yeah. I saw my mate Greg and we had some nice chips from
Sturridge
the shipping.
Scored a good goal. Did we take anything else? I mean,
The defenders scored.
My positive is that we scored two goals from.
We will be dangerous. I mean, Cahill is fucking good at a corner.
Jagielka was a terrible goal, but. I like the idea of us being dangerous at a set piece.
You've got to be there, really, position, no matter how bad.
Absolutely.
And it's a reaction.
People
have now got a little bit of faith in those two as a centre back partnership. I think as well.
He needs a little bit more.
They were a bit ropey at the back with Jagielka.
We said a month ago that ideally we'd have someone else alongside Cahill, not Jagielka. But give him a chance. Let him go.
Talking about those centre backs as well, you know, there's nothing to stop Smalling and Jones maybe having a decent game tonight as well.
Apart
from their ability.
Their ability could let them down. Yeah.
That's a bit harsh on Phil Jones.
I know.
And on tonight's game, what do we think about Milner being tested at right back?
Yeah,
right
as well.
We haven't got another one in a way. Like, I know the other two can play there. But if they're playing centre back, which let's say if there's an injury crisis, we don't have one.
We were discussing this morning, Dan, weren't we? And that is why another reason I would have taken Carrick over Lampard is because at least he can fit in at centre half.
That's perfect. If Johnson got sent off, after 50, 60 minutes. You can bring Milner on,
play a little bit of a deeper, a more centralised midfield, but you've got Milner to bomb on a little bit, which Baines can obviously do as well. So then you can basically, you've still got your 10 men behind the ball, but you've got Milner to give you a bit more, because Johnson does go forward, but he hasn't got the mentality of Milner. Milner's clever enough to go forward, but
I reckon Milner reads books.
I reckon
so. I reckon Milner
Him and Baines.
Did you read the interview with Milner in the Mirror yesterday? It wasn't an interview, but it was talking about his press conference. And apparently he does have a really good sense of humour, because there's the boring James Milner
Swiss. He's a boring football player. He's not like, but he doesn't have but he doesn't have any creative flair or anything. He's a workman. He's like, he's not missing, there's nothing to get, when you have James Milner on a football pitch, there's nothing to get excited about. You expect him to do a job. And I think, unfortunately, he's getting labelled as...
I think that's become that's become how he's been.
Which is what I'm trying to say. Which is what I'm trying to say.
But off the pitch, I mean, he admitted in the comments he's never had a drink of alcohol in the press conference. And things like that.
He's never had a drink in his life.
In his life, he said if we win the World Cup, he might.
Should we do some sort of collection for the Barca?
But he was willing to set himself up. He said he'd been investigating who it was. He thought it was someone at Man City who'd set the Twitter feed, but the meat had gone cold. So...
That account has more followers than his actual account.
He's got about 15,000 followers. Hundreds of thousands of people that
would rather listen to a parody James of him than
actual. That is quite funny.
Well, moving away from the World Cup and England.
What?
There are a few other things that are kind of interconnected. We'll keep talking about it. I'm sure we'll go back. But well, I suppose relevant England squad, Frank Lampard leaving Chelsea.
Yeah,
it could be going into the tournament without a club.
It's about the right time.
I don't know.
We've got 16 chasing him. I think it'll be alright.
But
do you know the thing?
I don't think we're worried about that for him, though, are we? I just think it's mad that Chelsea would let him go.
Premier League clubs who he could do an effective, job for. He doesn't want to, but I'd have him at United.
I think Liverpool would have him.
I think. Although, can you imagine trying to recreate the Lampard-Gerrard club?
Wasn't the headlines about Man City, apparently?
Man City, because the big rumour is he's going to New York City. Or Melvin Hart, he's been linked as well. David Villa is going to New York City.
He's their only player, isn't he, currently?
He is at the moment. He's their sort of flagship player, but they're not starting until next March.
Yeah, 2015.
So you have to be flagship player if you're the only player, Mike.
So Villa is looking to find
striker,
somebody to play for until next month.
Left back, right back.
All right, my question on Lampard is, if you're Lampard, do you want to go to the MLS or do you actually still want to prove your ability in the Premier League for another
year? Because he's quoted as saying, before my mum died, she told me never to leave Chelsea.
And also he loves Chelsea.
He said he'd never play for another Premiership club.
But then it's a bit of an Andrea Pirlo situation. He was seemingly dead and buried at Milan. They released him. Juventus sacked him up. And he's had a renaissance.
He was one of the players of the year.
He doesn't know.
No, Pete, my mum isn't dead, just to confirm that. But Pete's getting confused.
So the original question was, if you're Lampard, why would you go outside of the top European leagues?
To earn a load of money.
He's got a load of money.
And to be idolised in America. How much money has he got? We don't know how much money he's got.
Fuck load of money.
Andy, to be fair, the MLS is a lot better than a lot of European leagues these days. Do you think of the big players who are out there? You're Henri, Rafael Marquez, Beckham.
I think it's always going to have to be stigma being like a retirement home.
But it's getting better and better and stronger and stronger. And there are
good
European and stuff about it. It's like, well, what do I do now? I'm 34.
And I think it will be probably for 10 years.
I'm agreeing with him. Yeah, there's no more to say. But I think it's got that stigma about it currently. But yeah, it's getting better. From what it was 10 years ago.
I do think that will move on. It is improving, and I think within the next 10 years you will have younger players, probably at first money hungry ones, who will go out there.
This all happened in the 70s, like Lampard Senior. He was playing out in America in the 70s.
Yeah, Bobby Moore, Georgie Best, Beckham, Pelé.
But nothing ever really happened, and maybe there's a stigma, whatever.
But there's a lot of English players out there now, currently, 18, 19, 20, that haven't made the grade in England, and they've just fucked off to America.
I went to school with a lad who went and did a soccer scholarship over there, and ultimately didn't make it, but they do have a look around.
Because they're inevitably going to, the youngsters from this country going over there are going to be better than the youngsters. Because we're a football country.
I've got a friend who went out there for a year for uni and did where you do the old swapsies where you go out to, he went to Boston or somewhere like that at uni. He said, obviously the college football, as an American football, is massive out there, but the college soccer is fucking huge. He said he played in front of like 30,000 people, like for university soccer. And he said it was brilliant.
Is it all soccer mums?
Oh yeah.
Soccer mummies.
What they do? They do the whole Champions League lineup before each game as well, and they'd be like, and they'd announce who you were and where you were from. So
it's not blind date.
Yeah, no. So they go,
Here's our Graham LaSalle, the quick reminder.
He likes walks on the beach and doesn't like it when you won't.
But he did get fucking booed. So they did go, I'm from right back, Dan Mottram from the UK. And apparently it'd just be booed. It's amazing how they said.
That reminds me of being at university when we used to go and watch the. Because we were in a college
system. You went to do
it? I did. I went to one of the top 10 universities in the country.
Polytechnic.
A day visit?
Durham University, and yeah, I'm still working with you, plebs. How did that work? Anyway, but we used to go down to all the rugby games, and there'd be like 20 people, and we'd just get pissed and boo people. Whereas
good
you've
story,
got 30,000
yeah,
people.
Yeah, there's going to be some
booing. Like, literally just watching university kids playing football. Like, he said, the culture out there is so different. And he said, it's amazing that, like,
build these stadiums, don't they? Especially for American football. They're
American
football.
They fill
them up. 60,000 feet of stadiums.
College football is as big as the NFL in America.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know.
And yet they earn no money from it.
No, they're all amateurs.
There was big controversy. EA made a.
Fucking amateurs.
College football game, but because all the people on there were students, they couldn't make any money, so all the universities made a shitload of money for it.
Ah, right, but obviously.
Does it mean they made a game? Computer game?
Yeah, computer game.
Yeah. That sounds like EA just like bastardising a franchise to make money. They wouldn't do that.
No.
Just remember, on the whole of, you know.
FIFA World Cup.
2014 is available now, by the way.
Exactly, college competitive sport.
You'd think these days they could do a download into. FIFA 14, sorry, a World Cup.
Absolutely, yeah.
They have done.
Release this complete.
Yeah, no, but they've done that as well.
Have they?
Yeah.
Oh, but it costs the same price.
Pay about 50.
No, but in FIFA 14 now, you can play, like, the new download is you can play the Road to Brazil or, like, the Brazil World Cup.
Yeah, because famously, FIFA don't actually put a World Cup mode in the game.
No, but they've now done, they've updated it, so you can do it.
Sorry, can I just say, first off, terribly sorry for interrupting Andy. I was very. Good. But I can imagine Dan Greenfield rolling his eyes as we got that comment wrong, saying, yes, they have actually done that. I can't believe you. Go wrong.
Who?
Hope he's one of our listeners. He likes to criticism on Facebook.
Ben, yeah,
love
you,
Dan.
Yeah.
Take care, mate.
But on US professional or US college athletes in general, they get their education paid for them in
weekly blowjobs.
Weekly blowjobs and the rest of it, and then they go into a roster and they get
a lot of them aren't even into a draft, they're just done on the talent that they can play football. They're not there for their education.
Whatever happened to making cash out of it?
I said Motters, who I play with, is half decent player, but there's no way he deserves to play in front of 30,000 people, the bastard. Get yourself over there.
Anyway, other transfers. Right. I'm related to England. Ricky Lambert to Liverpool.
Yeah, great signing.
As much as I dislike Liverpool, I'm made
Four
up mil. For the lad.
Yeah, like, 4 million though. Do you think that's a bit weird, isn't it? Like, it's
a fairy tale transfer.
Yeah, but
and fair play
it's
to
got
Southampton.
No resale value at all.
No.
It?
Fair play to Southampton because they turned down $4.5 million from West Ham in January, and they come out and said, "Well, we couldn't stop him going to his boyhood club."
Yeah, it's true.
Right move.
What a fairy tale move for him. Yeah.
In fairness, in that meantime, the owner has died, his daughter's taken over, and she apparently has no interest in football whatsoever, so maybe she just wants $4 million.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, fair enough.
Sounds like players playing for the clubs they support.
Yeah.
It don't happen very often in lower leagues.
I think when you support a club, you want players who actually care about your club. That's why United fans love Gary Neville. It's why Liverpool fans, even though Jamie Carragher was an Everton fan, he became a devout Liverpool fan.
Yeah, question on the transfer window. When does it open? I mean, so...
It's open.
So it is actually open and players can join? I don't think
it's technically it's not. No, it's
no.
The 1st of January.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the 1st of July. Most of the transfers you consider it to...
Free transfers.
This is what I wasn't sure of.
You consider the transfers to have happened because no games are going to happen. But it's technically, obviously, if you're out of contract, you can join anyone. But if it's money, it goes through officially on the 1st of July.
So Lambert's move won't go... So Lambert's not official
for
until
For all intents and purposes, probably not, no. But
he signed his shirt, he's done the whole thing.
I'm sure the contract specified that should he get injured somehow when his career end. Liverpool are responsible for it.
Right, okay.
Liverpool. Right.
Peter's not having it. Peter doesn't like the contract talk.
The other one on the other one on everyone's radar. So Ashley Cole, has he signed a new contract at Chelsea?
No, he's leaving.
So he's leaving as well.
Yeah, no, he's come out on Twitter and said he was
leaving. Who's he saying?
Okay.
Ashley Cole.
Yeah.
A bit like that, mate.
Yeah.
No, a few weeks. No, the only reason I'm mentioning it is... So they're letting Lampard go
when
as well.
When's the Champions League final?
Oh.
Has that been played?
Next week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I'd be interested to see.
There's a good little picture. There's a good little picture of... There's Ashley Cole making a funny looking face at Torres and he's standing next to Lampard and he goes, hang on a minute, something's wrong here, they're letting me and him go and you stay, what the fuck is up with that?
That's my point. The whole thing is, you let Lampard go, you let Cole go,
he's obviously Mourinho knows what he has a new squad in there,
they weren't involved last season.
They are so entrenched into the whole ethos of the club, that's obviously what he's looking to get rid of. You can't argue with that, really.
John Terry apparently appearing on ITV over the World Cup.
Well, he's the favourite to replace Marquinhos.
Now he's not. ITV made the statement about 12:30 saying they have not asked John Terry. It's probably all a load of bollocks.
They've asked to him.
They've asked Nick Griffin instead.
Wow, they still influence Andy Townsend on this.
Mug. I'd rather listen to Andy Townsend talk about walls drying and listen to John Terry.
Walls drying or paint drying?
Paint drying. Same thing. Same thing.
I tell you why ITV. I hate John Terry. Who I've got, who I'm excited to
fucking hate wet walls.
They've got Fabio Cannavaro. Yeah, ITV. Yeah, brilliant.
Oh, who's got fucking someone's got Andros Townsend.
Yeah. No. ITV have got Andy Townsend.
No. I've got
him in World Cup sticker book.
No. Andros Townsend, because there was a piss take article on it.
He's going to be on Bravo.
Yeah,
there's a piss. There isn't. I can't remember where he's going, but he's doing it. He's in Brazil. He's going to Brazil because he's going to Brazil to do it. And because Spurs have said he's got to take a trainer with him because he's got to keep up his fitness.
Keep his fitness.
And take the piss out of him because all he'd be doing is saying if anyone gets near the box, he'll be going shoot.
Cut inside, shoot.
So he is. He's over there doing, and I think Kyle Walker might be as well. So there's the two of them. I think are over there for
Kyle
someone.
Walker.
Honestly.
I tell you what, we're going to get some in-depth fucking analysis this summer.
Because obviously it's two young England stars that were supposed to would probably have been there if it hadn't been for injury.
You say that, Michael Schumacher's doing the German ball.
Let's leave that. Let's walk away. I'm walking away.
Oh, he can't.
Oh,
Stop it.
Apologies. Now. Right, have we got anything else to do?
No.
Fair play to Ireland, who held Italy.
Was he beeping?
Peter's contribution there is making a beep beep. At least he wasn't going beep.
No, come on. He hasn't. He's still there.
And Wales Holland tonight. And apparently, Louis van Gaal is very angry that Wales. Apparently, he's arranged on the promise that both Aaron Ramsey and Gareth Bale have played to give Holland a test. Neither are playing, both pulled out injured.
Good.
But Tom Lawrence, the young United player, is. He's going to make
his. Is that the forward, the striker, the scored the other
day? No, it's not. He's the one. He played. James Wilson's striker. He's a midfield player who played and played very well. But he is using it, he claims, as an opportunity to show Van Gaal what he does. I don't think Van Gaal's going to give a fuck.
No, he's not going to be looking at you.
And I think he said as much, but. Yeah, hey, boss, how you doing?
If he scores a fucking hat trick, he'll.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah,
but no, is that going to happen?
Who knows?
Against Holland.
Is there any more for any more, or are we going to wrap it up?
I think that's enough, isn't it?
A bit of a serious one. An ex-Gillingham player. Was in a car crash.
I saw that. The young lad.
Yeah. George Howard. If you could retweet that from the.
I definitely will for that. Yeah, I know I'm lazy with it.
Young lad.
Is he alright? Is he.
Not sure.
It's costing him a shitload of money, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. Retweet the thing and then everyone.
Get well soon, certainly. And the other thing is, we were meant to have our pre World Cup foot golf at the weekend.
Oh, yeah, we've got to mention them.
Which I said for a few weeks I wasn't able to do.
We might still be getting down there,
and we will be getting down there at some point, definitely.
There's a tournament. Print deadlines for work, unfortunately.
August, there's an open tournament. Which would be quite funny.
Team tournament or individual?
Didn't say.
We've talked about it before. Yeah. Do you know their Twitter handle?
It's at UK Foot Golf, I think. But
Kent Foot Golf as well. The lads that looked after us. Just get on the website.
I will definitely as well tweet their Twitter handles. Follow it. Get yourself down there. And when we're getting down
Mega
there,
rolls.
If it's this weekend or not, we will make sure we mention it. Now,
it does look fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it does look brilliant. Yeah.
So next week, World Cup roundup show or World Cup preview show, and also our expeditions to the pub again. Horribly drunk, watching a great game between
Friday Spain and one ton,
which we won't remember.
Yeah.
Have we had any? It's unlucky for some, mainly our listeners.
Have we had any reviews? No reviews recently.
We've not had any new reviews since May.
Come
now,
on, get on iTunes.
Get on iTunes.
Anyone been commenting?
You probably haven't checked, Mike, have you?
No, I checked yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I keep going on the reviews.
Yeah, we're done. We're done.
We're done, Peter. So now you can actually speak up. We'll have a chat.
Bye.
See you later.
I was going to get you up. Sorry. Yeah. Visit footballpodcast.tumblr.com, at footballpodcast on Twitter, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. We will be back next week with our World Cup preview.
Two shows next week.
Can I play two shows next week?
Can I play the machines now?
Yeah, you can, Peter. Okay. And on that note, have a good week.